Welcome to the River Valley Podcast. River Valley is a group of people seeking to connect to Jesus and connect to each other. And we're excited that you're here. Whether you're listening at home, on the job, maybe at the gym, in the car, wherever you're joining us, I hope that you'll open up your heart, open up your mind, and receive a fresh word from the Lord today. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, River Valley. Everybody good today? Yeah, good. Hey, I want to start out with a fun announcement for those of you who didn't see on Facebook. My son, many of you know him, Creed, he got engaged yesterday. Yeah! That's fun. And it really lends itself really well into where we're going today. So yesterday we go and we're going to hang out with Creed. Mel and I before, and so we hung out with him a little bit, and then Mel and I prayed over him, and we went, they're having a party afterwards, so we're getting that ready, and then Liv comes in, my daughter, and she comes in, and then Creed comes in, he's got a few minutes until they're going to go, and so we're all four there together, and Livy says, hey, I want to pray, or let's pray for Creed, and I said, well, Mom and I have already prayed for him, would you like to pray for him? She says, yes. And she says this in her prayer, God, thank you for giving me such a great brother. And I was like, what did you just say? I mean, you know, like, come on. Now, you guys got to understand, like, don't over-spiritualize parenting as a pastor, okay? Because some of you have this image, like, my kids wake up in the morning, good morning, Father, let's read the Bible together. You know, like, that's not true. And all their life, they're exactly like your kids were growing up. At first, you're like, I want them to get along and love each other. And I want them to be best friends. And that was not the case growing up. I mean, in fact, when one of them would get in trouble, the other one immediately would come up to us and go, I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. Shut up. You do not. You're rubbing in their face. They're like, remember, I'm the chosen child. All right? And so you're like, okay, get along. And then you're like, okay, well, at least don't fight. And then they start fighting all the time. And like a lot of it is physical. And then you're like, okay, well, at least if you're fight, don't yell or don't break anything. You know, just, and then all of a sudden you come to this moment where they're praying together and you're like, wow. And then the most amazing thing happened. Livy was, our family doesn't do emotion as well as sarcasm, to be really honest with you. Like, we're great at sarcasm. But in that moment of prayer, Livy started crying and just, you know, like offering up Creed's, coming marriage to the Lord. And we all start crying. It was a really moving moment. And I thought, man, it's exactly where we're going today because marriage is important, isn't it? Like, marriage is important. And we all felt the gravity of that moment, but also the joy in what was coming. It was wonderful. It was great. It wasn't the time for sarcasm. It wasn't the time to be flippant. This is important. Like, I tell Creed all the time, like, make a good decision. I used to point out girls who were, like, high-maintenance activities, and I used to tell them, I bet I said 1,000 times, don't marry that. Don't marry that, you know? And then we met Maddie, who's now his fiance, and I was like, dude, you can do whatever you want, but you better lock that down. Marry that. I mean, yeah, you know, like, we're winful men. We get one shot to, like, kind of, like, oh, no, and it's fine. And so... it's important, isn't it? Well, today we're going to look at the breastplate of righteousness in our series, Suiting Up. And the breastplate, the modern equivalent is the bulletproof vest. And the reason it is important is because it covers up vital organs. See, the breastplate of righteousness is the same thing as the modern day bulletproof vest. You can get shot in the arm or you can even get your arm cut off and you can still live. It's not optimal, but you can do it. But if you get shot in the heart or the lungs or the kidneys or in the intestines, it's much more severe. The breastplate of righteousness covers that which is important in your life. Covers those things that you can't afford to have go wrong, that you don't want to mess up. And that yesterday as we were praying to Jesus for Creed, it was this thank you, Jesus, we see this progress in our relationship with Jesus Christ in his decision to marry Maddie. So what's important in your life? We're going to come back to that idea over and over. What are the vital points of your life? How do you use the breastplate of righteousness to cover over those so that you are assured that you can succeed in your relationship with Jesus Christ? So let me give you a definition to start. What is righteousness? We're going to do a lot more in the armor in the coming days, but I want to make sure and not get so lost in the armor perspective that we don't understand what righteousness is. So just like we did truth last week, we're going to really concentrate on righteousness. This is what righteousness is. Righteousness is you are right with God in all areas. Right with God in all areas, your character and just how you are, even as you are alone. That's your character. Your conduct, how you act around other people or with your character when you're alone. Your conscience, like your motivation, your internal that Jesus sees fully. Your words, it is an all-encompassing idea. And you want to be right in all of those areas. You want to be right in the vital areas of your life. Your relationship with Him, your marriage, your children, your finances, whatever it is. You want to be right with God. That's what righteousness is. So we're going to walk through that step by step and learn. And I'm going to give you multiple verses that highlight that. The first one is Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, which says, I tell you, this is Jesus. He says, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus said this, they went, uh-oh. These are the best people in their society. Like, do you know someone who's just genuinely good? Like your grandmother. I mean, like, you know, do you ever compare yourself to your grandmother? Because your grandmother, yeah, once I sinned, I said, darn it, once. You know, like that kind of thing. And you're just like, oh my goodness. Like, they're so much better than me. And here's Jesus saying, unless you're better than your grandma, and you're like, oh, no, I'm not. I'm not even close. And he's saying, oh, and by the way, your grandma's not getting into heaven either. We're all in trouble with this verse. We're all in trouble. So let me tell you what it is and then unpack it. Righteousness is God, not good. Righteousness is God, not good. This is the hardest. I think that the righteousness is the hardest piece of armor to convey correctly. Because what I'm afraid you're going to hear from me is just, listen, I need you to go out there and be a good person. I need you to quit cussing. Some of you are cussing. I need you to quit cussing. I need you to be nice and kind to people. I need you to pet kittens. I need you to be nice. And you're like, oh, okay, well then when I do that, I'm righteousness. That's not righteousness. Righteousness is from God. I'm not giving you a morality sermon, even though it can be so easily taken as that. Righteousness is when we put on the breastplate of righteousness of God. Yes, we do those things. Yes, we begin to act differently, but you've got to be so careful that you don't try to put that up in front of you. And he says, you got to be better than the scribes and the Pharisees. In their day, the scribes and the Pharisees, there's over 600 laws in the Old Testament. The New Testament tells us why those laws are there. They are there to show us that we cannot live up to the law. In other words, when I measure myself against the law, these 600 laws, I see that I am a sinner. Therefore, it shows me, it illuminates the fact that I need Jesus in my life, that I can't live up to these. But see, the Pharisees took a different approach. They said, here's what we'll do. We'll take this group of laws and we'll make additional rules outside of the laws so that if we don't ever break these rules, we can be assured that we'll never break the laws. And so, for instance, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. You need to rest on the Sabbath. So they had laws that said how far you could walk before it became work. If you walked any further, then that was work and you were breaking the law. So modern day, if you've ever been to Israel, this is the craziest illustration that I have. Like, first of all, you know on the Sabbath, it's going to be a different day when they don't serve you coffee because they say that's work. And you're just like, you know, as an American, you're like, well, I need you to sin because I need coffee, all right? Because if you don't sin by getting me coffee, I'm going to sin because I don't have it. All right, so one of us is going down, buddy. Needs to be you. All right, So it's just this whole idea of don't work. So you go to a hotel on the Sabbath in Israel. And it could be a large hotel in Tel Aviv, very, very modern city. And instead of getting into the elevator and pushing number 15 for the 15th floor, the buttons don't work. because they have Sabbath elevator, because what it does is it starts at the bottom and you get in, it just opens automatically. You don't even push the button to go up. Push it, goes to the first floor. Open, close. Second floor, open, close. All the way up to your floor, if you're on the 15th floor, you know, 12, 11, 13, and then it does that on the way down because pushing a button is work. And so they have this idea that, like, I'm not even going to do this. That way Jesus is up there going, oh, good for you. You didn't push the button. You're getting a big place in heaven, buddy. That's really and truly what they think. That's not righteousness. It is not morality. It is not being good and acting kind. Those things come from our righteousness, and they are evidenced by our righteousness. Don't start there. So this is the way I wrote it because it's such an important lesson. Guys, I would die if you walked away from today's sermon and you're like, what are you talking about? And you're like, he told us to be good people. You know, no, that would drive me crazy. That's not what it is. So here's what I wrote. Warning, don't be a poser. Don't be a poser. Now, I grew up in the 80s, and me and my friends, we skateboarded, so we looked at a lot of skateboarding magazines, and that was the big phrase, because back in the 80s, you had to be all into skating culture, and if you weren't, you were a poser. You were just kind of like, you kind of skate a little bit. So we used to always say that. What's so funny is looking back is we were farm kids in a farm community. We were total posers saying, don't be a poser. And then like, we're talking about you. Oh, okay. So, but here's how we're a poser. Here's my favorite recent example. So, all right, what movie is that? All right. Thor, God of Love and Thunder. Anybody seen it? All right. Hey, there were like five people in the first service that I saw it. I was like, seriously? You guys got a good out, man. All right, so this is Russell Crowe playing Zeus in Thor, God of Love and Thunder. And I want you to specifically see his armor. Stay on that picture. Now, I specifically didn't show Chris Hemsworth's muscles in this because I didn't want my wife to like, woo, you know, like clap, you know. And all of you, like, lose focus, you know. And so we're going with Crowe. He's 60 years old. We're sticking with Crowe. All right, so this is what cracks me up about this. So this is a good example of a breastplate. So you see the armor that is on his chest. Now, I want you to look how they, in all armor, you know, like Batman, anything, they always make sure you can see the abs, don't they, right? You know, like make sure that it looks like you got a six pack. But what's funny about Russell Crowe is he's literally 60. He does not have six pack abs. He's got a dad bod. All right, we all know it. We all see it. But let me show you his armor, the actual armor. Look how it actually goes out because, like, he's got a belly, right? Look how on the sides it's wide. When you've got a six-pack, man, you go down to a thin waist. And so Crowe is up there with his breastplate going, check out my body. And everybody's like going, no, stop, right? Like, back to Hemsworth. It's a poser, isn't it? It's putting something on the outside that you think or you hope will convince people that you're not really that way. I've got six-pack abs. You're like, no, your armor does. But what it's covering up doesn't. We have to be so careful that we understand that righteousness is of God, that God gives us righteousness, his righteousness in Jesus Christ, and that we don't become a poser and like adopt church rules or rituals. Well, we don't cuss here. We don't do that. We sing. No. That's not what we're talking about. The righteousness is of God. And the Bible says very specifically, look, if you're playing that game, you're not going to go to the kingdom of heaven because you've got to do better than the scribes and the Pharisees, and they're doing about as good as can be, and it's still not enough. It's still not enough. You've got to have the righteousness that is of God. Number two, Matthew 6, verse 33 says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then what happened? All these things will be provided for you. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first his righteousness, and then all of the things that you need in this world will be added to you. So this is the way I wrote it. Righteousness is first or never. Righteousness is first or never. You will put Christ and his righteousness first in every area of your life because he will not take a second place. Even if you're like, man, it's a close second. You've got to put the righteousness of God first in every area of your life. So, in the first service, they did this really well because I was like, who's seen, you know, Thor, God of Love and Thunder? Very few of them had. But I said, how many of you can help me sing this? And so sing along with me if you know it. My hope is built on nothing less than righteousness. Nice. Very good. Give yourselves a hand, man. We got like a huge choir today. Nice. So we sing, or if you grew up in church, you grew up singing that your hope is built on the Jesus Christ and his righteousness. In other words, exactly what we're talking about. First, it is about Jesus in your life. But if we were honest today in singing this song, we would really sing, my hope is built on nothing less than a good job, a full bank account, and a 401k. That's what we would sing, isn't it? Or maybe we would sing, my hope is built on nothing less than a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home and a low mortgage rate, right? Sometimes we would sing, my hope is built on nothing less than kids that obey and act good in restaurants so I'm not embarrassed, right? That's what we would really sing, because that's what we want. Those are the things that come first in our life. But Jesus is saying, no, put my righteousness first, and these things will come into place. What God has given me in my life is his righteousness. And his righteousness, when I put it in all the vital areas of my life, guess what? It affects every area. It affects every area. But if you try for those things first and then try to add Jesus at the end, it simply does not work. You've got to seek his kingdom first, or it never works out. Don't add God as a good number 2 or number 3. Don't do that. It's such a temptation in our day. We're tempted in our finance. I think it's the easiest way for us to see. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, 9 and 10, bring the first fruits into the storehouse. In other words, bring, as God pays you, unless you're a farmer, as God pays you, bring the first of your offering to the church. And as you do that, he says, your barns will be full. That's a great principle until you have those moments where you're like, I can do math, and this is how much is adding up, and this is how much I need, and it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Several years ago, I had 2 children at the same time in college. It's very tempting in that moment to add up all the college tuition and all the fees and all of the things. And then all of a sudden think, you know what? If we have anything left over, we're going to give it to the church. It's very tempting to do that. Me as well. But the Bible says, bring your first fruits to God and then watch him show up. And he's done a tremendous, tremendous, he's blessed my children tremendously in their college. He's blessed them tremendously through that principle. Bring the first fruits there. In those vital areas of your life, are you seeking after the will of God? Are you seeking the word of God and what he tells you to do and Christ first in every area? I love saying this on the Lord's Day because you guys are, this is the first day of the week. Sunday starts the calendar. So you can already say, hey, I'm setting myself up for a win because I'm giving the first part of the very first day to Jesus Christ. I'm worshiping Jesus Christ today. Or did you just attend? Did you just attend? You're so close. You're in the place. But you got to worship Jesus in spirit and truth in this place, then watch him show up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It's an amazing, amazing principle when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Find out those important areas and begin to put Jesus in the first place in every one of those. And watch him add all of these other things to you as well. Last principle. Oh, this one's fun. Some of you would say, you know what? Like, I'm not sure it's going to work. I love this verse. It's a great addition. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be filled. I love the Bible is encouraged. Like, look, if you'll seek after righteousness in these important areas, guess what? You'll find it. He promises, like, if you'll actually do what we're talking about and you'll put Jesus first in your job, in your marriage, in your time, in what you, goes on in the inner world of your life and your thoughts, if you put him in the first of everything, he says, when you really want him there, he said, you're going to find me. And I'm going to show up and I'm going to show you how that really cascades to every other area of your life. So if you're new here today and you're like, oh man, like I want that, but I don't know how to do it. You begin to seek after the righteousness of Christ and watch him show up. He promises when you want that, he will show up. When you prioritize him, he will show up. Number three, Romans 1:17 says, for it is in righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. The righteous will live by faith. So in other words, if we are going to be righteous in God's sight, we're going to be righteous this morning when we get up. Man, some of you, like, I hope that there are times in church and your Bible studies and other areas, you're like, I didn't know that. Like, you learn something brand new, and then you apply it, and it works. Man, this Christianity thing really and truly works. But then what about those of us who are a little bit more mature, and we say, I know that. And he says, no, you still got to live from faith to faith. You've got to get up in the morning and still do it as well. You've got to place that righteousness moment by moment, day by day, in its proper place. And just because you know the principle doesn't mean that you're applying it by faith to faith, one day at a time, every day. This is what Jesus wants from me. I give him faith in this moment. So this helps you if you're new here, if you're new to Christianity, especially those of you who are guests and kind of exploring this thing. And you're like, I wonder, you know, like you're trying to figure it out. Because you can look at a fairly mature person in Christ and you can kind of feel overwhelmed, can't you? You're like, oh my goodness, I wish I'd have been like that. I wish I had the privilege. I grew up in a Christian home. That's a tremendous, tremendous privilege, absolutely. But you might say, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. In fact, I'm midlife and I'm just now learning these principles. I've never heard about this concept before. I never really thought about it. And all of a sudden, and then you can be like, I don't know, like maybe I can catch up. I can work real hard real fast. And then I say, no, it's not about you trying to be good. And you look and you can feel like I'm behind, and so I don't even want to start. And so one of my favorite quotes, this applies to all areas of life. Hey, this is it. Right there. Yeah, there you go. You will often overestimate what you can do in the short run, but you will vastly underestimate what God can do through a lifetime of faithfulness. I love that quote. You will often overestimate what you can do, like right now. So you might be like, I'm gonna get after it. No. Faith to faith, moment by moment, day by day, you will be amazed at what God can do, even over a season of faithfulness. Not today. I mean, sometimes you see great jumps, but it's also where you look back and you're like, oh. And so the principle that I wrote for all of this is that righteousness is learned. It is not earned. Righteousness is learned. It is not earned. It is not seeing a little old lady at the checkout line at HEB struggling with her cart and going to help her and putting her groceries up and then taking her cart for her. And Jesus is like, whoa, check that out. Give him 3 righteous points. He's doing great. No, it's not that. It's not earning. It is learning that the Bible says, do unto others what you would have them do unto you. And it's applying that and saying, you know what? I see an opportunity. And I learn this and I go out and apply it. See, the actions are exactly the same, but the motivation, very, very different. You learn righteousness. You learn how to have a good marriage through the Word of God. You learn how to raise godly children. You learn how to do your work appropriately unto God. You learn how to do biblical finances. All of these areas that are important to you and so many more. Whatever's important to you, these vital organs of your life, the breastplate of righteousness covers those. And so today, if you will just begin, regardless of your starting point, I promise God will show you amazing things. My old pastor, he was a combat medic in Vietnam. And they taught them triage, and triage is a French word. It means to sort. And the way that you sort and triage is they taught them in Vietnam. They said, okay, you've got to find the people that are most critical, but who can make it? Those people get on the first helicopter. Those people get into the OR first, and then the second, and then the third, and then that person. Yeah, they need attention, but they can wait a little bit, and they're going to be okay. He said, but what was sad about triage? He said there were certain people who had been hit in these vital organs. He said, and they might have had a huge hole in their gut. And he said, we were taught to set them to the side and pump them full of morphine because they were going to die. And he said, there was nothing that we could do but to make them comfortable. And then he said, one of the greatest lines I had ever heard. He said, aren't you glad God doesn't do triage with us? Aren't you glad God doesn't make you hear a sermon like this and you acknowledge, I am not righteous before God, or I'm not righteous in this part of my life, and therefore you've got to be set aside. And God says, we can't use that one. They're too far gone. God does not do triage. God can absolutely save the most broken sinner in here. God can absolutely break the biggest addict that's hearing my voice. God can miraculously bring together the hardest marriage in this room. God can call back the wayward sinner who is far from him, even if it's your child, even if that child is an adult. God can miraculously turn around your finances the moment you say, God, I put righteousness first in my life. I invite you right where you are, bow your heads. And I just want to pray through this sermon again today. Is your hope built on the righteousness of Jesus Christ? That first moment of righteousness is when Jesus comes into your life to forgive your sins through his death on the cross, through his burial in the tomb and his resurrection 3 days later. Jesus is righteous. And he can give that righteousness to you today through his death, sacrificial death and resurrection. So today, if again, man, don't hear, I got to try harder. You have got to, if you've never connected with Jesus Christ through salvation, right where you are today, you can ask Jesus to come into your life and be the Lord of your life, to forgive your sins, to set you free today. There is no one who needs to be triaged today. He can heal you. He can forgive you. He can adopt you as a son or daughter in Jesus Christ. Let him today just pray and say, dear Jesus, come into my life. Ask him to forgive your sins. Ask him to be the Lord of your life. He's in control, in other words. Tell him you believe that he died on the cross for you sacrificially, that he was buried in the tomb, and he came alive. The Bible says that he will give you the righteousness. There's no one righteous, no, not one, but he gives you his righteousness. Today, if you are saved, I want you to think about those vital parts of your life. Even if you think, you know what, they're too far gone. I can't be saved, or I can't be free because I've been an addict too long. Our marriage can't be reconciled because we've been apart. My kid can't come back into the faith because they're far from God. Whatever it is, what are the vital areas of your life? Are there any areas that the Holy Spirit's kind of tapping you today? He's just right there, just tapping you a little bit. He's saying, hey, you're not putting me first in this situation. You're not bringing Jesus into your marriage. You're not bringing Jesus in the way you raise your children. You're doing money as if I don't exist. Any other thing. Today, say, God, this is a vital part of my life. And I'm not seeking first his kingdom, your righteousness in this area. I'm acting, as far as this part goes, it's like you don't even exist. Confess that to him. Be honest. Yep, I did that. It might have been a willful choice. It might have just kind of been a slow-moving, unconscious decision that you just look up one day and you're like, oh, wow, really far. Either way, declare it to God and say, your righteousness. I seek first your righteousness, Jesus, in this area. This is vital. This needs to be covered by the breastplate of righteousness, because it's my heart. God, help me now. Declare to him, I want to learn your ways in this. I don't want to just say I'm sorry and be forgiven. I want to dig into scripture. What does the Bible say about these things? What are the passages that are meaningful about this area? How can I begin to apply them today? Righteousness is not earned, it's learned. It's the word of God given to us and then applied in our life. So today, Father, we acknowledge any area of our life that we've kind of either knowingly or even kind of unwittingly kept away from you, God. We want to put you first in your righteousness. God, we love you. We praise you for forgiving us, God, and setting us on a new path. God, help us to see the blessing of Christ in these areas. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey guys, I'm excited about all the things that are happening at River Valley. I want to say thank you. Last year was our best year ever in every single category. But last year, we baptized 101 people in a year, right? And so now, here's what's like crazy about that. So that's in 50, actually last year there were 53 Sundays, and in those 53 Sundays we baptized 101 people. Last week was the 14th Sunday of the year. So in 14 Sundays, we've already baptized over half that. We've baptized 53 people this year in 2024. So, like, God is up to something. I mean, it is amazing. It is fun. It is so evident. Like, you can just look around and go, yeah, he's doing something here. I mean, it's great. And so I just want to encourage you. Man, I'm having the time of my life. I love what God is doing, and he's using all of us to do it. So you're doing a good job, River Valley. I'll see you next week. Love you guys.
Thank you for listening. I pray that the message gave you hope, that you were inspired, you were challenged. And I want to also encourage you that if you'd like to join us live, you can go to myrivervalley.church or download the River Valley app for more info about service times, directions, and ministries. And thank you for giving. Your generosity and how you serve as our church family is so important to us. You are helping reach people for the gospel of Jesus. You can go to myrivervalley.church/give for more details there as well. We'll see you next week.